All right, should we get to our sexy story this week?
Ladies, gentlemen, you cannot unsuck that dick.
It was hot.
It was really quite something.
Do you like when someone else makes me moan?
Do not show up looking like you slept in your clothes. In your car.
There is nothing sexier than getting railed by two dudes at the same time. I'll just say that. I know this is going to shock all of you, but I really enjoy naughty men. And the gentleman that we're going to talk about today is the peak of naughty men, if you will. He and I made some very steamy content together, and I feel so inclined to share the details of it with you guys. But first, we want to say thank you to Cassidy.com for sponsoring this episode of Front Porch Swingers. Cassidy really is a one-stop shop for your lifestyle fun. It's not just about meeting people or seeing who's in your area. There are a ton of different lifestyle resources on the site. For example, you can see all of the big events coming up. For example, ours are all on there. As are the biggest lifestyle takeovers, all the way down to the smallest events that may be happening in your area. So if you're curious about the lifestyle fun that you could be having right now, you need to join Cassidy. And all you have to do to get a free month of Cassidy is head to frontporchswingers.com and click on the Cassidy banner at the bottom of our homepage. Once again, that's frontporchswingers.com. Click on the Cassidy banner to try it free for an entire month. Check out the events, see the sexy people in your area, and come say hello to us. We're there. So this will tell you everything about how our fucking day is going so far. We are currently drinking Crown Reserve in our studio.
At about 12:30 in the afternoon on a Wednesday.
Shit has gone sideways, okay? This week has gone sideways in so many different ways.
Well, and to be fair, I don't even care. There's something floating in my glass and I don't even give a shit.
It's Crown Reserve, man. Yeah, just drink it and pretend like it's not there.
I'm going to have to deal with it. We are I don't know. Shit, we're... fucking 15 hours, 12 hours, I don't even know how many hours away from having to get on a plane to fly to Atlanta for Splash. I'm absolutely not looking forward to it because I have to get on a fucking plane.
Yeah, everyone knows. Every time we get on a plane, people like send their condolences going to die or something.
Our flight, now we just got an alert. So we have to be at the airport 2.5 hours before our flight takes off because of TSA having some fucking issues, right?
Yeah.
Our flight leaves at 8 a.m.
So we're going to get there at like 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah. And the fucking bars don't open until 8 in the Vegas airport.
And we need a drink when we fly.
I have to swallow my Xanax with something. So, I mean, I'm already fucked off.
So, we sound like the biggest degenerates ever opening this episode. I promise we're not nearly this destructive usually.
No, because what's funny is I don't drink at events. I only drink when I have to get on a fucking plane.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's the whole thing. So I gotta have a cocktail and a fucking Xanax. It's a 4.5 hour flight.
We drink when we're packing and we drink when we're flying. And that's about it for the most part at this point in our lives.
Yeah, drinking during packing is a must because it's so fucking stressful. It's just, now we are using two different suitcases because we're going for like 4 days.
Yeah.
And there's no way we're packing all of our shit for 4 days in one suitcase.
Not without killing each other.
No, so it's not like an overnight trip or some shit. So it's a little bit better, right? I don't have to worry too much about, I have to, you know, fold your stuff and make sure it fits and make sure we're not over 50 pounds and all that bullshit. We should be okay. But, you know, it's still fucking stressful. I've got to figure out what the fuck to bring. I have no idea what to wear. I don't do the theme shit, so I got to pack suits, which is a pain in the ass. You know, how many pairs of fucking shoes? I'm just not looking forward to this.
Yeah, the lead up to events fucking sucks for us. I know a lot of people look forward to that, like packing all their little outfits and cute little bags and making sure that they have everything put perfectly in their suitcase for all of the different theme nights. And that's great if that's you. We are not those fucking people. No. I just want to get there and dance my fucking face off.
No, I just want to be naked at the pool. I could give a shit what I have to wear. But of course, we're hosting a dinner, so I gotta look presentable. There's three fucking theme nights, so I gotta be, you know, I've gotta have clothing for three different events. It's like, fuck me, man. I just wanna lay out at the pool.
I think you should just show up in silver LeMay shorts to all of the events.
That's not a terrible idea.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of the participants would thoroughly appreciate that decision.
So you don't know this. So I was over at the host hotel that we're hosting Podbash at yesterday, meeting the gals over there, going over menus and all that shit. Well, one of them has quite the hookup here in town.
Oh, my.
Yes. So she used to run one of the boutiques in town that has men's kind of, you know, specialty wear.
Oh, my.
Yes, she is going to put me in touch with the lady over there who does like the alterations and things and see if there may be something I can put together. So I might surprise folks at Podbash. You don't know what I'm going to show up with. She gave me some ideas. So we're gonna talk about that, she and I.
I know certain listeners that if you guaranteed you were wearing silver LeMay shorts to at least one event for that weekend, they would sign up for Podbash.
Well, it might be something, it may be even more special than silver LeMay based on the conversation that she and I had. So
are you going to clue us in, or is this a surprise?
No, absolutely not. Total surprise. No, it's going to be a whole thing. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If I have, you know, if there's enough crown reserve involved and I can find the right outfit.
So you're saying I need to get you drunk and then take you to the boutique to yeah, make that probably. Decision. Is that what you're saying?
Probably. Yeah, because again, I don't drink at events. Like, I'm not going to drink at Splash, but I got to have a cocktail now just to prepare myself for the idea of packing. And then tomorrow morning, I'm going to have to probably bootleg some shit on the plane right into the airport. You always got to, you got to fool TSA. It's not that fucking hard. You got to pull the wool over their eyes so you can have a cocktail at 8 in the morning before the fucking plane takes off because the bars don't open until you're getting on the plane. You know, it's a whole fucking thing. You got to be like James Bond to get a fucking drink at the Vegas airport at 8 in the fucking morning. So, you know, one does what one must.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? So when this episode's coming out, we will be back from Splash.
Yeah,
it'll be the day after we get back. So, I mean, I'm really excited to see what happens this weekend. Like we were talking about, I mean, we have a few responsibilities, but for the most part, we're just going to have a fucking blast.
No, let me make this clear. You're hearing this, obviously, after we've returned, and there's a very good chance that our room became the hospitality suite.
That's kind of our plan. We just want to have a fucking party. Yeah, we want to meet as many people as humanly possible. Yes. We just want to fucking, and you don't really drink, but mostly just dance fucking hard to the point that my ankles are swollen like I have apples on each side of them the next day. That is my plan for Splash. I'm super excited about it.
Well, I'm just going to hang out and, you know, make some friends. We're going to see some friends. We have friends coming in, which is great. But we will probably have the hospitality suite. The door will be open. The booze will be pouring. We're just going to have fun. My goal is to just have a good time. That's it.
I think we need it. I feel like we have been burning the candle at both ends. And I hate to complain about how much we work because everything we do is fucking fun. You always say we could be roofers or digging ditches or doing serious, manual labor for a living. Our jobs are fucking fun. So I hate complaining. But at the same time, my mental state has not, if I'm being completely frank, has not been great the last week or so.
Well, we've had a lot of, along with all the things we do, there's a lot of bullshit that goes into that. You're dealing with a lot of different types of personalities. Lots of politics. You got to jump through a lot of hoops, lots of douchebaggery. It's endless. And the more shit that we pile on, the more of that takes place. So yeah, it's a catch-22 because when things go really well, they go really fucking well. And when they don't, it's an absolute fucking train wreck and we end up drinking Crown Reserve at 12:30 in the afternoon. So that's pretty much how this goes. In fact, I tried to talk you into going to the fucking Arts District before we started this podcast to have a drink. I just don't know that we would have made it back.
That's my whole point.
Because we're 7 minutes away from our favorite bar.
I would have gone and had two beers and been like, okay, I'm ready for a fucking nap now. Yeah, that would have been the end of it.
We are 7 minutes away from the Arts District, from our favorite place. We could have been there, had some cocktails, toured up a bit. What is today? Today's Wednesday. Our favorite bartenders are probably there. I don't know if we would have made it back. If we did, it would have made for a very different kind of episode, probably.
I was going to say, we've only done one drunken episode prior to this.
Yeah.
We're not drunk now, but what I'm saying is there's only been one episode I recall where we were fucking drunk during
the podcast.
I don't
even remember that.
Yeah, remember we went and had margaritas downtown?
Oh, that was a terrible... No, we had Claw-ritas is what we had. So if everybody knows what, like, what do you call it, like a Corona-rita is, imagine doing that with a fucking
White Claw.
And that's what they were doing when we were living in Montana, and they made them extra special for us. And holy, they had gummy bears. I put gummy bears in them.
No, so then we decided we were going to go home and make our own Claw-ritas and add gummy bears to them, like the drunken idiots we were.
The debaucherous morons that we were.
And then we recorded an episode at like 9 o'clock at night.
I don't even remember what episode that was. I'd like to go back and listen to it.
I remember the episode.
Do you?
Yeah.
I want to hear it.
It was the pool party that we went to.
The pool. Oh, shit. Yes. Which was also a fucking train wreck. Holy shit. Yeah, I do remember that, actually. That's really funny. Well, yeah, we rarely do this, obviously. That's not fair. I'm not saying we haven't had cocktails at 12:30 in the afternoon. If there's a pool party and it's a day that we're not working, then yes, it's probably on. But at this point, recording and drinking Crown Reserve in the office is not the norm.
I've only had like 3 sips.
We provide it for guests. We don't normally partake ourselves. Did you and Susan have a cocktail when you were recording that day?
We did not.
I'm very surprised. I got to see her yesterday.
How did that go? Because you were supposed to play. You guys did not end up playing for certain reasons. But
yes, we had a really lovely conversation. I actually spent more than 3 hours just she and I bullshitting. I didn't realize how long I had been gone. She made us old fashions, which was lovely.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, that's just one of the reasons I love Susan. She's a bourbon gal, just like yourself. And so she made old fashions, and I got to play with the dog, and we got to talk about some, you know, some personal shit that she's got going on and some of her, you know, dating stuff. And it was fun. We had a great fucking time. But yeah, that was yesterday. Had a great time as always. We just got to catch up, and I will see her when we get back from Atlanta.
I like it. Yeah. I got to be honest with you. I was getting antsy while you were gone. And it's really interesting to me why that happened. I kind of had a little bit of a realization, which is that if you're off fucking someone, I'm significantly less antsy, which is so weird. Because to me, it's like, why are you gone just talking for so long when you could be home talking to me?
Well, let's not forget. While I was with her, you and I were communicating at one point. And like we said, the more shit we have going on, the more shit can hit the fan. And we had some fucking issue that took place that just sent us both kind of in a fucking tailspin. So you were worked up over that. You were at home thinking about it, obviously,
just
by
fucking
yourself,
stewing
over it.
Yeah.
So by the time I got home, you were already anxious because I was gone for like 3.5 hours. And then we dove right into that fucking issue that we were having. So yeah, I can imagine why you were anxious.
Yeah, but I've noticed it even like when I'm in a great headspace, but you go out for a drink, for example, to me in my mind, it's like, okay, it's been a normal amount of time to just have a drink with someone. You should be fucking getting your ass home to me, which has nothing to do with you. That's a me issue.
And you know what's funny? I think the opposite. So yesterday, for example, I wasn't even looking at the clock. Now you and I have gotten to a really good point. Where when I'm with Susan or with Jade or you're with somebody, I never look at the clock when you're doing your thing, right? I don't bother with that. I do my own thing. For me, I'm far more cognizant of how much time I'm spending away from you if it's playtime.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it didn't even occur to me. I wasn't even thinking about it because I thought, well, shit, we're just having a conversation. We're having some old fashions. I'm petting the dog. We're just bullshitting. There's nothing going on at all. So this is just fine. And then, of course, you were already worked up over this whole fucking situation that took place professionally. And then, you know, thinking about me not being home and I wasn't there for you and I to go over all of this. And you're just, you know, you got all that time alone to think about it. It just gets weird, right? But for me, I'm just the opposite. I'm far more concerned with playtime time than I am with vanilla time.
Well, and I also think what's really interesting is we hear from people all the time. They reach out and I feel bad when they say this because it's not the truth. They'll reach out and be like, I wish we could be like you guys. It's so obvious you have no neuroses and no issues with other person playing. Just the seamlessness of you guys playing separately is so cool. And we wish we could be like that. I never want to paint that picture because there are still times, especially when I'm not in the best mental headspace, when my mental health isn't 100%, I can spiral real fucking fast. So I never want to make it seem as if our lifestyle journey is all peaches and roses and rainbows all the fucking time, because that's not real life.
Well, the truth of the matter is, and people need to understand, this is not a situation where it's a jealousy component or we're not spending enough time with each other and this, you know, you're spending too much time with somebody or I'm spending too much time with somebody and not enough time with each other. That's not what's happening here. There are different portions of our lives that are taken up with either professional or personal stuff. And when one of us is with someone else for whatever reason, whether it's vanilla, having a cocktail or having lunch or just getting it on, there are those moments where it's like, well, shit, you know, we really should be together doing this, or we should be talking about this. And you know, you start
no, for me, it's
head.
More than that. It's you're my security blanket. So when I'm not in the best mental headspace,
right, it's just that much worse.
I'm like, I need Brian around. I need him here. Well, the reality is, even if I am going through something, you can't be there 24/7, nor should you. So again, that's a me thing. And I understand that. But the reason I wanted to bring it up on this week's episode is because I never want to paint the picture that everything in our lifestyle journey is easy. No. I want it to be realistic for people. And I want them to understand that if they're listening and they're like, God, I wish we could be like Brenna and Brian and have it so easy and everything is just so seamless. Trust me, it's fucking not. So I want to do a better job of talking about the difficult moments sometimes and bringing up the times that I don't feel amazing about you being out with other people. And again, it's not jealousy. I'm happy that you went out with Susan. But for me, it was like I was fucking going through something and I wanted my security blanket there.
Yeah. And the truth is, what had happened didn't really happen until I was already gone.
Right.
And had it happened, I may have altered my plans,
right,
because it was something we needed to get our heads around. And instead, we were up talking about it till fucking midnight.
Now, you know? What I will say is we had some crazy sex last night, and I think it was both of us getting some demons out.
Well, it was also, well, listen, to be fair, again, I did not play with Susan. And we did not really engage with each other at all. I kissed her hello when I walked in the door. She kissed me on the couch as I was leaving. I mean, it was really that just that
benign.
Much. Yeah. Totally benign. But I was amped up. Yeah. I'm like, if this wasn't, if we weren't dealing with this situation, she and I would be naked upstairs just going at it like spider monkeys. So I was super fucking hot. So I was just as worked up being with her in a vanilla setting, having a drink, sitting on the couch, rubbing her leg. She's rubbing mine. Maybe even more so than had we had sex. Then driving all the way the fuck home.
Then we scream for an hour straight because of this fuck, not scream at each other, but no, just in general, yeah. Like frustration getting out.
Right.
And then you're like, so should we go fuck? And I'm like, yeah.
I'll put on some music. I'll put a record on.
You put a record on. We go to the bedroom and it was fucking on.
Yeah, because it's like, well, first of all, I got all this sexual pent up frustration anyway, because I was within an arm's reach of Susan and we weren't playing, obviously. And then all the pressure of the bullshit we dealt with. And so, yeah, we had to release that shit. It had to go. We just had to get it out.
What better way than fucking each other's brains out?
Right. So, and again, so what happens? This morning, 6 a.m., you're up, I'm up, I'm making coffee, and you're sitting on the couch, you're waiting for me to bring you your coffee, and you're like, you know what? I feel much better today about what we were talking about yesterday. I now have a plan. I am motivated. I was like, okay, so is it the night's sleep? Was it
it was the coffee?
What was it exactly?
Listen, cock will fix 90% of the issues in my life. I'm just saying. I think you need to remember that more often. If I have a shitty attitude, I think you just need to fuck it out of me.
Maybe. That's not a terrible idea. I've heard worse ideas. But yeah, I mean, listen, everything works out for the best, right?
You can slap my tits and my ass, take it all out of me, baby.
I'm not sure we've had that hot of sex after I've come back from a play session or you've come back from a play session.
Well, the other thing I'll say is a lot of what we fed off of last night was this trip that I'm getting ready to take to the Bay Area.
Yes.
We were talking about the potentiality of what could happen. And, you know, you were telling me to show you how I want to suck his cock while I was with him. And so I think that on top of this very frustrating evening just culminated in this fucking aggressive, animalistic banging for over an hour. It was so fucking hot.
I was so exhausted. I had to go to bed.
Yeah, you're like, I'm done. I'm going to bed. I'm out. Okay.
That was insane. I need a nap. Had some crazy hot monkey sex, dealt with some stupid professional bullshit, and woke up this morning in a much better place. So whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. This episode has become quite feral and off the rails, if I must say.
Right. It is what it is.
Okay, so let's move on to single guy tip of the week.
Okay.
Because we were talking about this in our Telegram group this morning with our Patreon members. And I know that we've talked about it before, but it's been a while since we've talked about it. And I found the discussion that we were all having around this topic very interesting.
Okay.
We were basically talking about the concept of, let's say you've played with someone once before, or maybe you've never played with them, but you've talked about playing with them. And you're having pretty regular conversation with them. You know how it is, like when you first start talking to, you know, for me, especially a single guy.
Yes.
It's like in the beginning, we're talking a lot because we're talking about boundaries and interests. And you're trying to kind of get a feel for them, get to know them to some degree to decide if they're worth spending your time with. So that communication is definitely kind of amped up comparatively to people that maybe you've talked to for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem that a lot of these guys have is they'll do that and then it's almost like they lose interest for whatever reason. So they stop really communicating with you and then they'll just pop up again months later.
It's a squirrel mentality. They saw something shiny in the corner and they went running after it.
Right. And so I use the example of this guy. He and I played once before. This was months ago. I'm talking probably at the beginning of the year we played together.
Right.
And then he kind of stopped communicating with me. I texted him the day after he came over and I was like, thanks so much. It was great to see you. I hope we get to do this again. He never responded to me. So then I just assumed he was ghosting me. Like he didn't have a good time. I was like, okay, whatever. He texts me like 3 days ago and he says, so when do I get to get my hands on you again? And I'm like, are you fucking serious? I haven't heard from you in probably 5 months.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
And people were kind of chiming in and saying, you know, life gets busy and, you know, things happen. And I totally get that. I completely understand that even as a single guy, even if you're 1,000% single, you don't have a partner to worry about, you don't have maybe kids to worry about, you still have adult responsibilities and you still have times in your life where your focus is going to be diverted. That's just natural. And that's totally okay with me. But it's about communicating that. So in other words, if you do have all of this shit coming up in your life, instead of just ghosting, why not say, hey, I've really really enjoyed playing with you, or I've really enjoyed talking with you, but some things have popped up in my life that I really need to focus on. Is it okay if I get a hold of you when my life calms down a little bit? No fucking problem. A, that shows me that you're a fucking adult and you have communication skills, but it's just a level of respect too.
Well, you know, you talk about communication. So as we mentioned, I was with Susan yesterday. We had a very nice vanilla date together. We had some cocktails and we were talking about something that had taken place between she and a guy she was seeing. And you want to talk about acting like an adult and a lack of communication? Listen, guys, this is real fucking simple. Whether you are in the lifestyle or you are dating someone or you're seeing someone on whatever level, if you don't have the ability, the capacity to communicate like a fucking adult, then you need to check yourself, right? She's seeing this guy, something comes up, he has a kind of a weird feeling about something, he doesn't communicate with her about it for 2 fucking weeks, and then when he finally does, he sends her this ridiculous text message because his fucking, he's all up in his head, it was absolutely stupid shit, there was nothing to it, it was completely, it lacked substance. And what that turned into was her going, okay, you're a fucking child. I can't talk to you anymore.
Well, that's exactly what my tip was going to be. Communicate what you need in the moment. Don't wait. Because with this particular guy, what happened, the one I was talking to, is I very politely and calmly explained to him, hey, I haven't heard from you in several months, and I feel like I deserved more respect than that. I know that we only played together once, but the last message I sent to you was, hey, thanks for coming over, and I never got a response. So I assumed you were no longer interested.
Right.
And he writes back, oh, I was totally interested. I just got busy with work.
I'm supposed to know that?
Then communicate that to me in the moment.
Right.
Well, it's not that fucking hard.
Well, and this is a similar situation. Susan explained to him through text over a period of time, like, okay, listen, you fucked up and this is done. And then, of course, he responds to her with something like, oh, I realize what I did. That was really stupid. She's like, yeah, it was. Adios. So whether you're single and in the lifestyle, or you're single and you're dating someone, use your big boy words. Stop acting like a fucking child.
Right.
You know, communication really is important. It's cliche. I get it. You know, it's, oh, you got to communicate. You got to communicate. What you need to do is fucking talk.
Yeah. I mean, couples have done it to me too, to be fair. Like,
oh, for sure.
There was one couple that I was talking to for months, and like, we just couldn't align schedules, but they were really good about keeping up with me and saying, hey, you know, we've got a lot going on, but we still want to see you. And then communication just dropped off.
Sure.
No problem. You guys obviously had other priorities, or this isn't that big of a deal to you, whatever. They come back 6 months later. Hey, our lives have finally calmed down. We're ready. No, it doesn't work that way.
No.
You know, they're like, well, we're going through some stuff with one of our kids and this and that.
Cool.
That's totally fine. I understand that you have a life way outside of this. And most people do not take the lifestyle as seriously as we do. Okay? Because most people don't do it for a fucking living. I get that. I 1000% get that. But it's about making sure that you're communicating why you need to step away before you step away, or communicating in the moment what it is you need to communicate, not allowing things to just sit and fester. So that's the whole point of this tip, is like, if you have actions that are going to impact the way somebody else feels, communicate it fucking respectfully in the moment.
Well, it's also kind of arrogant, right? For someone, whether it's a couple or a single person, to disappear, completely fucking dip out, and then 6-7 months later show up like nothing happened. Like, whoa, hang on. So do you really think you're that fucking special that you can just behave that way? And I'm just supposed to acquiesce and be like, oh, I get it. Totally fine.
Oh, I'm at your beck and call. Absolutely. Let's meet up as soon as it's convenient for you. No, go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
plus, you have no idea in that particular situation, back to the ghosting example, you have no idea what's going on in my life at this point. You have no idea if I'm taking on new play partners, if I'm even still in the lifestyle.
Well, yeah, we don't know what's going on with you, just like you don't know what's going on with us. So don't just jump back in and assume that you can just take up like you did, like nothing happened, like, you know, pick up where you left off kind of thing. Like, it doesn't fucking work that way. That is a level of, it's disrespectful for sure, and certainly a level of arrogance and complete fucking cluelessness.
Yeah, but I also know with single guys specifically exactly what happens, because I've had this conversation with single guy friends.
Sure.
What happens is they get fucking horny and they get on Tinder or Bumble or Cassidy or whatever, and they'll send out a ton of messages at the same time. They'll start talking to 10 people or 10 women at the same time, and then they'll slowly drop off.
Right.
And then when one of those doesn't work out, they'll go back through their Rolodex of women to reach out to somebody for a fucking booty call.
No, absolutely. They go back to what they think is a sure thing. I'm going to run the list of fucking women that I'm chatting with. When all 10 of them fall through, I'll go back to the failsafe over here because I know that, you know, I've played with her, so she's probably good to go. Except that you have no concept of fucking time and space, jackass, because it's been months and you never fucking responded to my last text message when we were together. So fuck you.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Don't, guys, use your fucking heads. Seriously.
And use your words. Use your fucking words. It's not that fucking hard.
No, shouldn't
be. Oh my God. Frustrating. Okay. Anyway, so now I want to talk about something that is absolutely not frustrating, which is getting fucking railed by a hot ass man. And this is a very interesting dynamic that I have with this particular gentleman because I feel like we have very, very different play styles, but we were able to meld them during the experience that I'm going to talk about today in such a cool way. So we're going to talk about all of the details of that very shortly. But first, we want to say thank you to the partners of the Front Porch Swingers podcast. This episode of Front Porch Swingers is brought to you by our friends at Permescent. I have struggled with sensitive skin issues my entire life, and that's especially true when it comes to sexual wellness products. I've had to ask a lot of partners not to break out their own lubes because I know that they're going to leave me with a rash or itchy, and I seriously cannot think of anything less sexy during a sexual encounter, which is why I absolutely love Permescent's products. Permescent uses the highest quality ingredients in their lubes, massage oils, and all of their other bedroom wellness products. So I have peace of mind knowing that if I use them, I'm not going to be left with any sort of negative sensations during what should be a very pleasurable time. If you're the same way, if you have sensitive skin, or if you just want to be a good partner to others, especially if you're in the lifestyle and you don't know what allergies people may have when you're having these sexy encounters with them, make sure you check out all of Permescent's high quality ingredients and get them at a discount. You can do so today by heading over to promescent.com/FPS. That's Promescent, PROMESCENT.com/FPS for 10% off of all of their bedroom wellness products today. Are you sick and tired of wasting so much food? We certainly were. I found myself going to the grocery store with the best of intentions, getting all sorts of ingredients for different recipes, but then they would just sit in our fridge because I realized I'd forgotten an ingredient that we needed or I bought too much of something, which is why Hungry Root has been such a wonderful addition to our lives. Because Hungry Root sends us the exact amount of food that we need for the number of recipes we want to cook for the week. And they, of course, send us the recipes as well, making it easier than ever for us to cook high quality nutritional meals at an amazing value. Hungry Root is the easiest way to get fresh, high quality food delivered directly to your door. They've got healthy groceries and simple recipes all in one place. You can go to their website, take a fun and short quiz, and Hungry Root will get to know you, your goals, and how you like to eat. What flavors do you like? Which kitchen appliances do you have at your disposal? They'll keep your needs top of mind and start building a cart just for you. And right now, Hungry Root is offering listeners of our show 30% off of your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/FPS to get 30% off your first delivery and your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/FPS. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. You guys know that we receive a lot of emails, and I cannot count the number of emails we received from people, penis-having people, in the lifestyle who say things like, I just got nervous during a sexual scenario, and I couldn't keep hard. There is nothing to be ashamed of. It's an incredibly normal thing, especially when you're dealing with brand new partners or you're in high-stress sexual situations. But thankfully, Shameless Care has you covered. This episode of Front Porch Swingers is brought to you by Shameless Care. We absolutely love their services because they make it so incredibly affordable and convenient to get ED medication shipped directly to your door. All you have to do is go to shamelesscare.com and fill out a quick intake form. If accepted, you can get ED medication shipped directly to your door discreetly in packaging so that you have peace of mind the next time you go into a sexual situation. And right now, if you use code FPS at checkout, you can also get $30 off your first month of ED medication. Again, that's shamelesscare.com, code FPS at checkout for $30 off your first month of ED medication. Take the stress out of the lifestyle so it's just fun. So most of the time when I do OnlyFans content, I don't really talk about it on the show because to me, sometimes it feels like two separate worlds, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, a lot of times it is.
I mean, obviously there's still hot wife interactions and I don't make content with anyone that I'm not attracted to or that I wouldn't fuck off of camera, but it definitely has a little bit different of a feel to me. You know what I mean? Like I feel like it's very kind of business oriented a lot of times when a camera's involved.
Yeah, except in like the case of today's story, it's a friend.
Well, and it's somebody that I really connect with to the point that it almost doesn't matter that a camera's in the room. And I just wanted to preface this by saying that's why I'm talking about it, because to me, it's like the camera might as well not have even been there. That was not the main portion or the main concern of this play session. It was almost like we just set up a tripod together and we fucking forgot about it. And what resulted was this fucking steamy encounter between myself and Doc Chocolate, who is the host of the Bulls and Queens podcast. I've talked about him on episodes before. He's become a dear friend, unfortunately leaving the city of Las Vegas. So this might be the one that I'm going to talk about today, might be our last sexual encounter for a while.
Yeah, he's taken off for quite a bit. He's going to do a little tour. So we won't see him for a bit.
Slutty tour. I love it. I'm so happy for him. But yeah, I mean, the other thing that's really interesting about myself and Doc's play is that we have very, very different styles. And I feel like a lot of times when you are playing with somebody who has a different style than you, at least for me, I feel like I'm forcing myself to try to fit their style more or to try to meet them in the middle. And somehow that takes away from the experience.
Or trying to get them to fit into yours, which for me is also awkward.
Yeah, so awkward. Like I'm trying to pull them into my world. Yeah. And you can tell it's like awkward and uncomfortable for them. And then that sucks because I never want to make someone feel that way. But I feel like in this particular situation, we were both so open to the other person's style and their preferences because we just really genuinely like fucking. So it's like, okay, we're going to make this work. We're going to meld the two worlds. It's going to fucking happen.
No, for sure. And matter of fact, as a spoiler here, you guys were together a long time. I came home and you guys were just kind of wrapping it up. And it was like, you know, I was in the living room or kitchen or somewhere, and you guys were kind of giggling and laughing, just kind of getting yourselves together. It was like, it didn't really seem like a collaborative effort type thing. It was just fun.
Yeah, it absolutely is. We really do have a blast together. So Doc came over, and the first probably half hour he was at the house, we just sat in the living room, talked. We always have our hands on each other when we're together, when we're around each other, because I think we're just very attracted to each other. So again, that was kind of this nice prelude, because again, we had talked ahead of time about this was going to be a filming session, obviously. But I feel like because we were so flirty with each other and touching each other, and he kind of leaned over and kissed me a couple of times, it really just did just put me at ease, and it felt fun. Nothing felt forced. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's also familiar because, again, you guys are, you know, we're friends. You're friends with him. You've been with him a number of times. So it's just a comfortable situation.
So eventually we decide we're going to go into the bedroom and we're going to set up the tripod. And I told him ahead of time, I didn't want to really focus on the camera. Like the last time that we were together, we did what we called podcasters gone wild the first time. And I feel like a lot of the focus around that session was us almost kind of like interacting with the camera, which was fine. It was still fun, but it did kind of take away from the connection that he and I had together. So I told him like, hey, we can do a little intro, but then I just want to like have the camera there. And that's not the focus. And he's like, I totally agree. So we set up the camera and we kind of did our little intro. And from there, I just lost myself in the world of Doc Chocolate, let me tell you. So it was really fucking hot. And it was funny because I watched the video back kind of in preparation to talk about it today because I wanted to make sure everything was fresh in my mind. A huge benefit of recording a play session.
No doubt.
And I thought it was so funny. I was so giggly at the beginning of this video. Like he and I are, you know, we're being very playful with each other. He's kind of talking shit about his own cock. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry you have to have this ugly cock. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Bring that hot cock over here. And we're just being so goofy with each other. And that is really our dynamic. We're both just total fucking goobers.
He's a jokester. I mean, he's like, I don't know for sure, but I'm fairly certain he was probably class clown in high school, if I had to guess.
1,000%. He's just a funny guy. He's hilarious. So anyway, we start making out with each other. He is still completely clothed, and I had on this white little like teddy number. It clasped around my inseam, if you will. So, and it was just really cute. It's very low cut. It has kind of these flirty little ruffles on it. The reason I love wearing it and the reason I was excited to wear it for this particular session is because it feels very prim and proper and innocent to a certain degree. It's white with ruffles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like this raunchy fucking, it's not leopard print or anything like that.
Yeah, it's very like pristine.
So I'm in just that. He's completely clothed still. And we just start making out with each other. He's kind of first kneeling at the edge of the bed. And then he gets on top of me, basically mounts me on the bed. I'm now on my back. And he is just devouring me, making out with me. I'm running my hands all over him. And then he's like, I really think you need to take my shirt off for me. And I was like, okay. So he sits up. I sit up. I take off his shirt. Doc's fucking hot. If you guys haven't seen this man, he has just a really fucking nice body. He clearly takes good care of himself. And that particular day, for whatever reason, his like arm muscles were extra ripply. And I was just like, oh, fuck, this man looks good. So anyway, pretty quickly, of course, I have to suck his cock. He takes off the remainder of his clothes and I start sucking his cock. And it was pretty innocent to begin with for cock sucking for me.
I'm not sure that that word means what you think it means.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I wasn't like deep throating or slobber running all over the place. And this is where, again, the two worlds kind of had to mesh because Doc is a very sensual man. If it were up to Doc, I think in my mind, he would just be 100% sensual. He likes a lot of touching and a lot of rubbing and kind of slower motions. This is not an overly aggressive man. He knows I like it, which we'll talk about a little bit later in this play session, but it started off very much in his style. Like I'm kind of rubbing my hands on his legs and I'm just sucking his cock slowly. I'm sinking a little bit further onto the cock each time and he's just peering down at me with this look on his face and he's already starting to moan. I barely have his cock in my mouth and he's like, oh God, which I fucking love. So, I mean, it was just very sensual, very sexy, but very kind of slow and methodical comparatively to how I usually go at it.
Well, yeah, it's also, you know, the partner you're with, right? There's a rhythm and an energy, I guess, that it does kind of take over.
And the other thing I'll say is one of the reasons I love playing with Doc is he's very orally fixated. So he did not want me sucking his cock for that long. He wanted to lick me. So we switch spots. I get on my back. He gets in between my legs and like undoes the clasp of my outfit, kind of hikes it up to reveal my pussy. And he just kind of starts teasing me. He's just very, very lightly licking like the lips of my pussy. And then he starts really just focusing all of his attention on my clit. And he's a fucking cunnilingus connoisseur, let me fucking tell you.
Cunnilingus?
Cunnilingus. Nice. Nobody's gonna know what you're talking about.
Someone will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, if anyone knows, let us know. That's our favorite SNL skit. But anyway, yes, Cunnilingus was down there doing his thing, and it felt fucking amazing. And the other thing I like is I feel like I can be very vocal with Doc. I feel like I have no problem being like, oh my God, yes, right there, or not necessarily telling him what to do because he doesn't need a lot of direction, but I can tell he's just like me. He's very motivated by someone telling him,
yes,
that feels good, or right there. You know what I mean? He's very, very good at picking up on those cues and not moving from the spot that he knows feels really fucking good.
Right.
So the first orgasm he gives me is him just focusing on my clit. I have this crazy orgasm. I kind of arch my back up off the bed. It's fucking hot. And then he starts going down on me again, but he starts fingering me at the same time. And this is where things start to get a little bit naughtier. He's like really fucking fingering me. He's doing this amazing like come here motion with two of his fingers. At the same time, he's licking my clit and just suctioning onto it. And I had the most earth-shattering orgasm from it. I mean, it was just the perfect combination, the two together. But then he's like, come here, I want you to taste yourself off of my fingers.
Very hot.
So I sit up and he puts the two fingers that were inside of me in my mouth and I lick all of my juices off of his fingers. It was so fucking naughty.
It's very naughty, but very apropos for you.
Oh God, it was hot. And he's kind of like massaging my tongue almost with his fingers going in and out of my mouth. It was so fucking hot. And again, another thing I love about Doc is he's willing to get down and dirty. Like the man has sucked on my toes before. I mean, there was one time at the Phoenix event, we were kind of flirting with each other on the first night and I had on this very short dress and I was like, I need to go kind of shower because I can feel that I'm like sweaty and stuff. And he's like, oh, let me touch your pussy while it's sweaty. I was like, oh, you're so naughty. Like he's just dirty and I fucking love it.
Dirty in a good way.
Yeah, dirty in the bed. I don't say dirty in a bad way. I say dirty in a fucking hot way. Like, he's the type of man that knows that sex can and should be raunchy. You know what I mean? Like, you shouldn't have shame in any of that shit.
No, absolutely not.
I fucking love it. Why would you? So, anyway, I taste all my juices off of his fingers. And then he wants to taste me by kissing me and licking me. And so we have this amazing makeout session again where he's just like tonguing all over my mouth. He kind of bit on my lower lip at one point, which I fucking love. That drives me fucking crazy. I don't know what it is about that just animalistic motion of a bite on a lip, but it's so sexy to me.
It's a control thing too. I enjoy that.
Yeah. And again, not necessarily his norm. This is a man who's usually very sensual, but he and I've had many conversations at this point about my playstyle, my preferences. And I think he really wanted to meld the two worlds, and he was making that effort during this play session. And that was the first, to me, real tell of him doing something like that. Just that, you know, deliberate bite on the lip. And then when he did it, or after he did it, he pulled away from me and had this fucking look on his face of just like sheer naughtiness, you know?
Well, probably on some level, like, it was like, I told you I could do it.
Yeah, know,
like,
exactly.
I can do that too.
So then I'm like, I need you to fuck me. Like, we have waited way too fucking long for this at this point. And I remember I'm laying on my back, I'm playing with my own tits, and, you know, I'm kind of squeezing on my nipples, and we're talking dirty to each other while he's preparing to enter me. And keep in mind, I've already had two orgasms at this point, and the second one was really intense. And I think just like the hormones were swirling in my head. I don't really know what was going on, but I felt kind of foggy in that moment. In fact, I had to go back and watch the video to remember how he fucked me at first, just because the last thing I remember is laying there on my back playing with my nipples being like, oh my god, I just need this cock inside of me. And then all of a sudden it was inside of me.
That sounds about right for you.
So he pushes inside of me, and you hear on the video that noise that I make when I'm first getting stretched, that like, oh. Yeah,
like squeal.
I fucking love that first stretch. I know I've said it so many times. I probably say it every time I talk about a play session, at least with somebody who's large, but it just feels so fucking good, because it's like, it's this moment of pain, but the second you get past the pain, you just realize how full and amazing you feel, and it's totally worth it.
No, for sure. There's something about that. When you hear that from someone, it's like a fucking, you know, for me, it's so fucking hot. It's just such a turn on.
So he's slowly entering me, and he's just very lightly like pumping himself into me. And it's very slow, very methodical. I'm kind of running my hands up and down him onto his ass a little bit. He has a very soft ass for a man too.
I'll be sure to mention that to him next time I see him.
Hey, I heard you have a soft ass.
I understand your ass is quite soft.
It really is. I like touching his ass because it's very soft. Sometimes, you know, men don't lotion their asses, or they don't shave their asses or whatever. I like a smooth booty on a man.
You know I shave mine.
Because I help you shave it.
Yes, you do.
It's true love right there. I get all up in that shit.
For sure. Smooth up in you.
So anyway, it's very slow. It's almost like, it was like lovemaking. I mean, he's leaning down, he's kissing me. He's kind of saying some naughty things to me. I'm kind of saying some naughty things to him. But for me, it was pretty tame to begin with. And that went on for quite a while, honestly. And then all of a sudden, I just feel him starting to pick up pace. Like, just over and over again. Every time he enters me, it's a little bit harder. It's a little bit deeper, to the point that he is just fucking banging me, fucking the shit out of me. My legs are up in the air, and I'm like, yes, give me that cock. Yes, use this pussy. Like, we're really talking dirty to each other. And this is where the play session, in my opinion, just kind of flipped. Like, it went from his side of things to flipping to my side of things.
Yeah, to the dark side. Yeah, you gotta go to the dark side once in a while.
He went to the dark side with me. So, and I'm just running my hands all over him. I'm squeezing onto his shoulders. I mean, it really is getting very kind of primal in that moment. And he has his entire body weight on me, which was also very fucking hot. It almost felt like I was kind of trapped under him. Like, he's literally laying on me. I have my legs spread, but not completely spread. It's almost like closed missionary a little bit, or pretty close to it. So it's just tight and deep, and I'm just soaking wet. I can feel it's all over my legs. I can feel it all over him. He's almost like splashing my own juices up on me. That's how I always know. I mean, obviously, okay, yeah, I'm wet, so everyone knows that I was into it. But I get to a point where it's like even more wet than just wet, where it's like that splashy squishiness
like
going on.
Last night, for example.
Oh, fuck. I love it. And that's how I know, like, it's really fucking work. I always love sex, but when I hear those squishy noises going, that's when I'm like, okay, we're really firing on all cylinders here. So then there's this moment where we kind of shift positions a little bit, but I'm still on my back, and he puts both of my legs up on his shoulders, and he's fucking me even deeper. Sometimes I don't love the biggest cocks for that position, because a man can get really fucking deep.
For sure.
Doc is a very large man, but he's not like fucking gigantic. So it actually felt fucking amazing. I mean, he's just pounding me in that position. And then he starts slapping my tits.
Doc?
Yes.
Wow, imagine that. I didn't think he had that in him.
He slapped one tit and then the other one. And I was like, oh, fuck yes, do that again. And he's like, oh, you like that? And I was like, yes.
Oh, you never told him to do that? I didn't have that conversation?
I think we'd had that conversation, but I'm not sure he'd ever actually done it to me.
I didn't think he would.
I'm pretty sure this was the first time he'd done it, but I told him, like, I love my tits being slapped or squeezed or bitten or, you know, we've definitely had conversations about kind of more of my BDSM interests or the more rough play that I enjoy. Right. I never expected that from him. You know what I mean? Not to say I didn't think he had it in him, because now I totally know he fucking does, but more so, like, I never said those things to him with the expectation that he was going to do them to me.
Right.
It was more so just like, here's what I enjoy. And I loved that he incorporated it in the play session. And the first two times he did it, I could feel like there was a little bit of trepidation there.
He wasn't
not hesitant, but just he wasn't 1,000% bought in, I don't think.
Yeah, until, wasn't fully committed.
Until he saw the look on my face, and I'm assuming the tone in my voice, like, yes, that was amazing. Do it again. He's like, oh, you like that? I'm like, fuck yes, I do. So he starts slapping them even harder. He's using one hand to basically grip me around the waist to just like fuck the shit out of me, and the other hand to slap each one of my tits one after the other. Oh my God, it was so fucking hot. And then his face changed. Like, once he started to get comfortable with it, I could tell he was super into it.
Yeah, well, obviously you were consensual. The whole thing was consensual, but that you were really into it, it changes the whole dynamic.
Oh my God, it was so hot. So he's slapping my tits. He kind of grips me, not choking, but just kind of like holding me almost around my neck while he's just fucking the shit out of me. And I have one of the craziest orgasms I've had in as long as I can remember. I mean, it was just, I literally was screaming. My back is completely arched off the bed. I'm gripping onto the sheets just to keep myself in place and to hopefully hold his cock inside of me while I just have this insane orgasm. It was so fucking hot. And again, the entire time we're just talking dirty to each other. And I don't know, I feel like I just got to see a different side of him that was very erotic to me.
No, well, again, no matter how long or how many times you're with someone, there's always the opportunity for that advanced play, especially when you haven't explored each other's individual, like, real desires. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely. So then he gets even more aggressive with me, and he holds my hands above my head. He's holding them in place. He now leans down, puts his entire body weight on me, starts fucking me again, and we're talking so dirty to each other. Again, I'm like, use that pussy. Show me what you've got. Is that all you've got in you? Can you fuck me any harder than that? And he's like, oh, I'm gonna give it to you. I mean, it was just fucking raunchy. And then he tells me that he wants me to flip over, so he pulls out of me. I turn over and he starts eating me out from the back. He's eating my pussy from the back.
So much fun.
Feels fucking amazing. I mean, it's just, again, this man totally knows his way around a pussy with his mouth. It feels so good. And then he sticks his tongue in my ass.
Yeah. That's the norm for sure.
And I started kind of giggling. At first, I was a little uncomfortable, not because, I don't know, I'm, you know, lately I've been really weird about ass play. Like, I haven't really let anyone do much with my ass. I don't know why that is. I don't know what the shift is, because if you remember back when we were in Montana and I was playing with, like, Clint, for example, yeah. I loved getting fucked in the ass. I loved being tongued in the ass. I mean, I fucking loved all of that. So I don't really know what shifted for me, but it's been a long time since I've really enjoyed any level of ass play. Like, you'll touch it every once in a while. You'll kind of play with my ass, but even you and I really don't do that.
No, for whatever reason, I guess, I don't know, maybe something we got to get back to.
So I'm giggling, he's tonguing my ass, and he's asking me if I like that. I'm like, yes, I fucking love it, because it did. It felt so good. He was swirling his tongue around. He wasn't like darting his tongue in and out, because right. I don't fucking like that. That takes me out of it. It's just all the nerve endings like right in the, you know, right kind of on the surface of the asshole yeah. That feels so fucking good. So he's tonguing me and oh my God, it felt fucking amazing. And then at one point he's like going back and forth between my ass, my clit, and it was driving me fucking wild. So then of course he has to fuck me.
Naturally.
So he starts fucking me from behind and it's fucking rough. He's telling me how nice my ass looks and how juicy it is. And he starts spanking me. First he spanks me on each side, both hands at the same time, spanks me. And it was fucking hard. I mean, it was a nice little wallop. And I was like, oh, fuck yes. What is into you tonight? Give it to me.
Well, it's like you got the green light, you know, tit slapping, choking, the whole nine yards. So, yeah, I mean, he obviously realized very quickly that that was all on the menu. So
yes.
Why not? You know, just buy into it.
He just unleashed, man. I fucking loved it. So he's fucking me. He's spanking me. He's grabbing me around the ass. And again, just dirty talking like crazy. And then he's like, I really want you to suck my cock again. So I'm like, okay. I kind of got off. And at this point, I was woozy. Like my legs were shaking. And I was very kind of disoriented. But I get down. I start sucking his cock. And at this point, I want him to fucking come. Like I want to provide as much pleasure for him as humanly possible. So I am just deep throating his cock. I'm slobbering all over the place. I'm running my hands up and down his legs. I'm kind of touching on his ass. He's kneeling while I'm sucking his cock. And he's talking dirty to me, telling me how much he loves how my mouth feels on his cock. And then he wants to fuck me again. So I lay on my back. And he, you know, he puts on a condom, he gets on top of me, and he starts fucking me again on top. And this time it is pure primal energy. It is like he's grabbing me around the shoulders. He's just shoving himself into me. It is as deep as it possibly can be. He's making out with me, but it's so fucking like passionate and almost like angry kissing, which is so fucking hot to me. Oh God, I love it. It's almost like in that moment, that person just so badly wants you, that passion just has to come out somehow.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like this, they're bursting with passion for you and they have to show it to you. And that's how they show it, is through this like just aggressive, fucking angry makeout session. And so he's doing that while he's just fucking the shit out of me. And he tells me that he's getting ready to come. And I'm like, good, come for me. And he comes and he just growls. He has this deep throat growl. And it seemed like it lasted for a long time. I mean, it was probably only a minute, but for whatever reason in my head, it seemed like it lasted forever. Almost like time was frozen while I'm looking up at this hot man just having this crazy, intense, growling orgasm.
No, it's for me, like, you know, you get just lost in it. You don't even, I mean, for me, I don't even realize what I'm saying or what I'm doing or how loud I am or whatever. It just doesn't matter in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, it really was just so hot. And again, afterwards, you know, we obviously kind of finished up, we turned off the camera and we're sitting there talking, and I was like, that was crazy. Like, I, not that I didn't think he had it in him, but I didn't know it was going to come out in that way. You know what I mean?
Well, because you've never played that way before.
Well, and again, like we were just talking about, I feel like a lot of times when I've told men in the past, like, I like it rougher, I prefer rough play, it's almost like I feel like they're playing a role. They feel right. Like they have to do that in order to satiate me, and that simply isn't necessary. I would so much rather you just go into a sexual scenario doing the things that are natural to you rather than putting on a show.
Well, yeah, you don't want to force it.
And this did not feel forced at all. It felt like he was letting a different side of himself really come out. And that was so fucking erotic to me. When I look back on this play session, yes, there were hot moments. He's fucking licking my ass. He's, you know, banging the shit out of me. Yeah, very, very hot moments. But the way more special part of it, or the thing that's really stuck with me since he and I played, was me feeling like I got to see a different side of him that maybe not everyone gets to see. And that felt very special.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, again, it's just the beauty of sex. There's so many nuances to it. There's so many different ways of being able to express yourself during sex. And I sincerely appreciated that I got to share this incredibly steamy moment with Doc. And we've played a couple of times off camera recently as well. And honestly, that, again, this was all recorded for OnlyFans. It's going to be on my OnlyFans as Podcasters Gone Wild too. But none of that really fucking matters at the end of the day. You know, that content, great. We all understand that I'm an OnlyFans creator. It is what it is. This was more than that to me. This was like a true moment where I really got to experience something different and interesting with someone. The melding of the two worlds and being able to see him in such a different light was exactly why I love sex as much as I do.
Yeah, there's, I mean, it's a variety thing for sure, but it's also an explorative thing. Like, you know, as many times as you guys have been together up until this point, that's really the first time that side came out.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the other kind of light bulb moment I had when I was rewatching the video and kind of preparing to talk about this experience is I don't watch a lot of porn. I have tried. I've tried to get into it. I've dabbled here and there. I go through periods where I watch a little bit and then I'm like disinterested. And I've started realizing one of the reasons I become disinterested so quickly in it is because I truly feel like 95% of porn is so manufactured.
That's terrible.
And it's so not even necessarily scripted. I'm not talking about storylines or anything. To me, it's like I can often tell that this is a person doing this for the money. They are doing this to put out a product. They're not doing it because they're truly interested in the scenario that's happening.
Or the person they're with.
Or the person, they don't have maybe as much chemistry with that person as maybe they want to or whatever. I can tell those things. As somebody who has as much sex as I do and it creates content and films content for other people and all of these things, I can tell when people are genuinely connected to each other and when they're not. And I never want to put out content that's forced. So I love that I do have people like Doc in my life where I fucking love having sex with this man, whether the camera's there, whether the camera's not there. It really doesn't fucking matter to me because I just dig him. I like his sexual energy. I'm attracted to him. I know he respects me. So it all just culminates in this fucking amazing experience.
Yeah, I have no use for porn. It's all so manufactured and obviously, you know, just contrived. It does nothing for me.
Yeah, but I think the 5% of the porn where the people actually really genuinely enjoy being with each other is kind of fucking beautiful. So, I mean, hopefully if any of you watch this, that's what you'll get out of this. That's what I want to, you know, portray to people is I want to create content with people that I would have just as much fun with outside of the bedroom as I do on.
Yeah, oftentimes you do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think, actually, I can't think of a single person that I have filmed with that I haven't also fucked off of camera.
No, I don't think there's been
I mean, there's been a few maybe, but it's been very, very few.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was just a great experience. I absolutely loved it. I love Doc. I think he's just such a wonderful, not only a wonderful person, but a wonderful person to do this with, to create this type of content with.
Yeah, he's a super trustworthy guy.
So yeah, that was my hot, steamy experience. And obviously, we're going to be sharing a few more details on the bonus episode this week because that's what we do. In fact, I might drop some teasers of some other things we have coming up to our Patreon members this week on our bonus episode. So if you want more of the behind the scenes of FPS and what we have going on, make sure you head on over to patreon.com/frontporchswingers. If you want to see this video, it's going to be on onlyfans.com/frontporchswingers. I'll also drop Doc's OnlyFans in the show notes for you guys. So if you are interested in seeing a lot more of him, which I highly recommend because he's a fucking stud, you can look in the show notes for that. Of course, we would love for you guys to join us for an upcoming event. For example, Pod Bash 2023 is coming up in September. It is happening right here in Sin City for the first time ever. We are taking over a beautiful boutique hotel for basically 4 days of debauchery in the sun. We're going to have pool parties. We're going to have nightly themed parties. We're going to have a VIP dinner. We're going to have a charity poker run. So many other cool things going on. This is not your average takeover. This is an immersive experience with, honestly, some of our best friends from across the country. So if you want to make some new friends for yourself, we would love to see you there. You can find that and all of our other events by heading over to members.frontporchswingers.com. We are also going to be heading to Naughty New Orleans. We were actually just on a call talking about some of the meet and greets and the seminars and things we're going to be doing there. So we will soon have a full schedule for you guys of what we'll be doing at Naughty if you'd like to come join us for an activity. So just stay tuned for that. And we also want to let you know that we are still working on compiling the information from the E&M Summit. So we'll have a lot of resources and things to share via social media and our website and other places very, very soon for you guys.
Yeah, the E&M Summit info will be out and available all over and available to everyone. June 24th, we have the Hot Wives of Denver event coming up. We've got the Denver Hot Wives of Denver event coming up on August 26th. We have our pool party, Sin City pool parties on Sundays and Saturdays here in Vegas. Hit us up for those. We got a lot of cool stuff happening.
Yes, and everything is at members.frontporchswingers.com. So go check us out there. And as always, thank you guys very much for listening.
Thanks, everybody.